going on? This is Doki and Noah, and you're listening to Chicago Bullseye.
Give it all you got, take your very best shot, and may the best team win. The time is now, the name of the game is action. They're on the floor, and they're ready to score, so let the game begin.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of Chicago Bullseye. This is a little pre-show. What you're about to hear is a show with Mark and Bull Scripted and I that we recorded on Thursday evening, right before the Chicago Bulls-Orlando game, which occurred last night. I'm recording this on Saturday morning. I just want to give you a quick overview of the game last night against Orlando. The Bulls were fantastic in a 105-83 victory over Orlando, who at the time was number two seed in the East. Valentine with a fantastic game, finally played up to his capabilities, especially in the fourth quarter. Big coincidence, he did it when Markkanen was on the floor. I've been arguing for this all year, that if you want to get the best out of Valentine and his playmaking skills, you better have Markkanen on the floor. And he was utilized in an interesting way. Instead of actually setting the pick, which I've been calling for, which worked really well against Cleveland in the preseason, they actually had Felicio setting the pick and Markkanen in the corner as an option to throw. Of course, no one's going to leave Markkanen, and it really opened up the floor and allowed Valentine to do some really nice things. So interesting little wrinkle in how to use Markkanen, basically in a Korver fashion as a spacemaker. But the kid is so darn good. I'm talking Markkanen now, again, with another stellar game in 28 minutes, 5 of 10, just one rebound short of a double-double. He was a plus 12 in 28 minutes. 3 for 4 from the 3-point line. This kid is such a stud and so exciting to watch and worth watching every Bulls game. He's at 20 years old, he's already so far beyond what I expected. I really feel if he keeps at this level, there's a possibility that it's obvious he'll be in the running for Rookie of the Year along with Jason Tatum of the Celtics. But I think it's possible the kid can make the All-Star team if he keeps on playing at this level and keeps on getting significant minutes and continues to put up solid game after solid game. I mean, it's still early, but gosh, what a start for this kid. David Nwaba, fantastic game. 35 minutes, 7 to 12 from the field, plus 21. A stellar defender, 16 points. What I love most about the guy is he just plays at a different speed than everyone else. He's so athletic, so fast, so quick. Takes it full court. One of the plays, in the last two straight games, he's taken it full court for a layup or a dunk. Just another great effort. Great job. I don't think he's a starter on a good team, but I foresee him hopefully being, you know, the seventh or eighth man off the bench on our title team in 2020. And who knows, if he can continue to work hard and develop an outside shot, that's what's lacking to me with his game is, you know, some distance and some ability to knock down the three at a consistent rate. The sky's the limit for him. And likewise, Chris Dunn, who had a great game last night. He was 3 for 5 from three. If he continues to shoot, at least be somewhat of a threat. I mean, obviously he's not going to shoot, you know, 60% from three every night. But if he can approach 35% and actually be a threat out there, the sky's the limit for Dunn. Dunn is a stellar athlete. I think of him like I do Nwaba, with a higher ceiling, though. And the fact that Dunn, to me, defensively, no one else can play defense like Chris Dunn on the perimeter. I have been so impressed with this kid, and I really think that this point guard position should be handed to him. I don't even know what Fred's thinking. I don't even know why he's got Grant out there anymore. I really don't. So I understand, let Grant come in and give you some minutes, but he shouldn't be starting. And you need to have Dunn paired with Markkanen as much as possible. And let him grow. Let him learn. I see just signs from this kid in the last games. I'm just so excited about the progress of Chris Dunn. Lopez, fantastic game. What can you say about him? You can't say enough. And Holiday actually came through with his first, I thought, good game of the year, 7-12 from the field, 19 points. He actually played really well. I mean, you go up and down the lineup, even Felicio was tolerable today. You go up and down the lineup, it was filled with guys who really played well. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Is that right? 7 guys in double digits? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7 guys in double digits. So you're not going to lose a lot of those games where you're getting that much contribution across the board. Fantastic effort. Fantastic job. Oh, yeah, Zipser had 10. So I thought Zipser actually played well, too. I know everyone's upset. Well, we're winning these. You know, you can't win any games. I kind of disagree, right? As long as we finish between 20 and I predicted before the season we have 26 wins. I would like to see us, you know, in the bottom five. I think as long as we're in the bottom five, we're going to be fine. I'm shocked at how bad the Mavericks are. I mean, with Dennis Smith Jr., the Hall of Famer, and you know, there's a lot of talent on that team outside of the Hall of Famer. And, you know, you got Dirk Nowitzki. I mean, I have no idea why that team is 1-9. They're going to lose probably tonight playing the Timberwolves on the road. So there's a few bad teams worse than the Bulls. And when LaVine comes back, you know, we always forget. Bulls are missing, for most of the season, have been missing four rotation players. I don't care if you're Golden State, you're missing four rotation players. You're going to suffer record-wise. But when you start getting those guys back, and you're going to be a lot better team. Let's just hope they don't get that good. There's some teams that really, Indiana's 5-4. Orlando is 6-3. I mean, there's a lot of teams that are playing above what they expected. So, you know, I'm not as worried as everyone else is. I think big picture, they're still going to be a bottom five team, but this can turn around really quick with some smart additions, like an Avery Bradley or Robert Covington, upgrade that position where Holiday is starting right now, and then get another nice draft pick and hit a home run. We're a playoff team in 1 year. That's my prediction. You make one or two nice signings, get another nice draft pick that ends up growing, and then you got a core of LaVine, Dunn, Markkanen, whoever this draft pick is, nice little pickups like Nwaba, and you're back in the playoffs next year and contending for a title in 2020. That's the plan. So all the best to you. I hope you enjoy this cast with the great Markkanen Lewithall, and of course, Bull Scripted, I enjoy following on Twitter. I highly suggest you follow him, Bull Scripted on Twitter, at Bull Scripted on Twitter, who joined us on this next podcast that you're about to hear. Have a good one. Talk to you soon, and enjoy the game tonight against the Pelicans. Right. Have a good day.
Hello, Bull fans, and welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls.com. I'm your host, Mark Lewithall. With me, as always, is C-Red Fred himself, Fred Pfeiffer. We got a special guest on the line today. We've got Keith Brands from Bull Scripted. Guys, how you doing? Keith, thanks for joining us.
Doing all right. How are you guys doing today?
How about Markkanen? I mean, goodness gracious, the star is born. I mean, I am so impressed with this guy's start, the way he's looked in these first six games, that I'm a little disappointed in Bulls fans in general that I don't sense anywhere near the excitement that I think there should be over this kid. I think a lot has to do, obviously, with the hatred for the Bulls front office, and you know, they've hit a homer here, and you know, if I hear another person mention Dennis Smith Jr., I'm just going to scream, because I'm so sick of it. It's disrespecting Markkanen. He's the real deal. If you think about talking about Dennis Smith Jr., please shut up. I don't want Dennis Smith Jr. and his surgically repaired ACL. I'm very happy with Markkanen. What say you?
I mean, just overall, I mean, everybody rips on the front office, and you know, I get it. I mean, there's certainly the reasons to rip on the front office, but you know, we've had a lot of picks that weren't very good over the last few years, and the pick itself, I mean, just the where we were picking in the draft. So to make a big move like the Jimmy Butler trade, I mean, this pick was the first real meaningful pick we've had since Derrick Rose, where it's been like this. There's a lot riding on this pick. I mean, he traded away an all-star in doing so. And right now, Markkanen's numbers by himself are better than Jimmy Butler's numbers are right now in the Timberwolves, which is kind of blowing me away. He's had an unbelievable start, and what a home run it looks like for Paxson and Gar. This is franchise changing, because if Markkanen is a guy that can be, you know, maybe an all-star, and look, I mean, whatever, 10 games or whatever we are into the season, averaging 17-9, maybe he can be. Shooting almost 45%, 40% from three as a rookie. This guy looks like he's going to be the real deal. And this team's freaking terrible. And he ends up being good. You're going to have the chance to pick hopefully pretty darn good in the draft. It'll be good, whether it's one or whatever it is. You'll have a great pick this year. That's a core. So kudos to Gar Paxson, as much as kudos to Lauri Markkanen, that there seems to be some sort of a foundation here, whereas going into this season, if Markkanen didn't pan out, I don't think you have much. What say you?
Go ahead, Keith.
Back to the Dennis Smith Jr. thing, it kind of kills me, because the redundancy it would have taken to select Dennis Smith Jr. would have been insane. He received Dunn in a trade, so you already have a point guard prospect who's a top five pick, projected as a potential rookie of the year out of his draft class. Obviously, it didn't work out with Tibbs. Usually doesn't. Doesn't matter if he went to college for 4 years. Same thing happened with Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler was never supposed to be able to shoot. So I don't want to hear the Dennis Smith Jr. stuff. We already have one guard who's coming off an ACL. We didn't need to have two in the starting lineup with ACL injuries. and then obviously the giant elephant in the room, the Derrick Rose situation. Why would we sign up for something like that? We gave Rose his extension before he was ever injured, and that was a giant storm of crap. Markkanen, since FIBA, that tournament really opened my eyes. Some of the research I had to do to get over the Butler trade initially and looking into Markkanen, because I've kind of zoned in on the top five. I was all in on De'Aaron Fox, and I thought we were going to be trading into the top five, so I didn't look too far out of there. But even my initial analysis of Markkanen was way better than what the reports that any draft analysis was putting out, saying that he was soft, saying that he couldn't rebound. He was a one-dimensional player who could only shoot, and that's great, and he's 7 foot tall, but that's all he's ever going to be is, you know, the 7 foot tall Doug McDermott.
Yeah, to jump in here about Dennis Smith Jr., I think Dennis Smith Jr. is a fantastic talent, but he's not going to be a transformational player. He wasn't in college. He didn't make them a winner, and obviously he's not made Dallas a winner. In fact, they're one of the worst teams in the NBA with a lot more talent than the Bulls have. That's just a fact. So I think he's going to be a great highlight film, but just the fact that Markkanen can hit the three is just so – it just changes everything. If you watched the game yesterday and you saw how far they were guarding him out, either with a big man, it just – he's such a – just the fact he's standing out in the court creates space, and space creation is so important in today's game. And it's really simple with him going forward. You do a pick and roll and you bring the big man out, or you take advantage of the switch, whoever is the smaller man who went on him. And that's what really surprised me about his game. And yesterday you really saw it. He's much better in the post. He's just got a lot better game, overall game, than just a stand-up shooter. He had a couple nice drives, finger rolls yesterday. But in the post, he was really strong. I cannot believe he's better in every aspect of the game than he was advertised as. And Mark, I think you sold him very short. I heard that he had a great year at Arizona, but then he got sick. Someone mentioned
this to me.
So I think we should all take solace in the fact that this guy's the real deal. And to me, the two guys that are going to benefit the most from Markkanen on the court are Dunn and Levine and Zach LaVine. And both of those guys hardly have played. So the two guys that you have that are the rim wreckers, the guys who can drive, who can take it to the hoop best of all, haven't really even benefited from his presence on the court. Instead, we got bums like Grant, you know, out there, and Holiday's been awful. And no one's really been able to take advantage of the space this kid's creating. So I am beyond excited, and I think this team, by the end of this year, especially with the signs that Dunn showed yesterday, I am really high on Dunn now. And if he can develop, he's a jump shot away from being a very good player. At worst, I feel he's going to be a starting point guard, not an all-star level player, but he's a above-level talent on the defensive end, and that's what you need at a talent-rich position like point guard. You need somebody to stop that, and he's built perfectly for it. What say you, Mark?
I hate when people say first that they're a jump shot away, because I look at guys like Lonzo Ball, who's a jump shot away from being a half-decent player, and find me guys that really were poor shooters, like very poor shooters, not just like not good, but like very poor, who end up turning their game around and end up being actually pretty reliable shooters. I believe that it's important to be able to score at the point guard position. I think especially with the way the league is right now, you don't want to have a black hole at any of your guard spots. And I just don't see the upside.
Well, Kawhi Leonard was one that comes to mind.
I think that he might have decent point guard skills, but what do you have? Did he have like 3 turnovers yesterday or something? It's like he hasn't shown yet that I think that he could be a marquee player, but it doesn't really matter to me, because at the end of the day, the fact that you've got Lauri Markkanen, when we talk about his three-point shooting, shooting seven threes a game, which is shooting with 40% on 7 threes a game in his first like 10 games in the NBA, is absolutely unbelievable. As long as you have him, and maybe Zach LaVine ends up coming back and being something, you know, and showing that you might have like a 1-2 combo here before you get your next draft pick, I'm fine. Because I don't really feel like there's anybody else on this team right now that is really worth a lick. I mean, I think both, you know, Portis and Nico are not going to be here for much longer. I don't really see any upside to pretty much every single – there's nobody on the bench. In the starting lineup, I don't see really upside to anyone. I mean, it's really just – it's LaVine, it's the Lauri Markkanen show, and that's it as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I hope Dunn's okay, but I don't see it.
What do you think about Dunn, Keith?
I think he's being a little harsh on Dunn here. I've been on the Dunn train since we got him now. Probably got a couple $1,000 invested in rookie jersey autograph cards. I got a College Providence Chris Jun jersey hanging in my room that's getting ready to get put up in the office. I think Dunn's the real deal. A lot of the stuff that Fred touched on, the defense. Not everybody on the team has to be a scorer. As long as he can get a consistent three-point shot to even the extent that Rajon Rondo, who was a horrible shooter in his whole entire career, did for us last year. We don't need him to be a spot-up shooter. We don't need him to knock down contested threes. We just need him to be honored enough to where he draws a defender out far enough.
Agreed.
His defense should have him on the floor no matter what. And like you said with Markkanen, Dunn is somebody that is going to benefit from Markkanen as well as find Markkanen. Dunn has turnovers because he takes risks. And I was just watching something on NBA TV with the great Isaiah Thomas talking about Chris Paul and how he doesn't feel that he is in a championship state of mind because he's looking at the stats. He's worried about assist-to-turnover ratio. The greats in the league had three or four turnovers a game because they took the risks that were needed to make those plays, and you're not always going to make them. So Dunn just needs to learn how to control himself, tighten up his dribble a little bit, and get his shot on. But he is definitely a starting point guard.
Absolutely. At worst, he's
Patrick. As far as the turnovers per game, though, thing, look, the greats have a lot of turnovers per game because the ball is always in their hands, and they're always making plays. So I'll give an excuse to a guy that takes 15, 16, 17 shots a game that's trying to run through traffic and make things happen, who's turning over the ball, you know, three times, four times tops a game. But like Dunn, and I know he just came back, but to be turning it over four and a half times a game, playing only 26 minutes, come on.
That sample size,
you got to look who he's playing with.
Yeah, that's another good point. The sample size is nowhere big enough. Hold on, Mark.
You're right.
It's nowhere big enough.
His turnovers last year weren't that bad. When you do a pick and roll of Felicio and he rolls and then he doesn't look for the ball and you throw it to him, that turnover goes on you. It doesn't go on Felicio.
That guy sucks.
It goes on you.
And it's only been two games, but he's had an obscene amount of turnovers in those two games. But it's only two games.
I hear these dopey Grant defenders.
But he'll get there.
These dopey Grant defenders talking about how great he's been on the assist to turnover ratio. Yeah, he's playing with Lauri Markkanen, Robin Lopez, the best players on the team. Lauri Markkanen, when he's on the floor, our offensive rating is like 30 points higher than when he's off. It's absolutely atrocious when he's off. So when he's out on the court, he's able to get that benefit. What happened with Dunn the last two games? Yeah, exactly. He walks out when he's got a bum like Felicio out there. Can't do a darn thing. The guy sucks. The team that he's at is exponentially worse than the team that Grant's been playing with. Grant should not be the starting point guard of this team. And I am disgusted with Fred Hoiberg that he announced he's starting tomorrow against Orlando. When Grant is shooting right now, I'm not kidding, 34% from the field, 15% from three, he sucks. He's not a good – I keep on hearing, he should be a combo guard. He's not good enough at either position. He's not strong enough to play shooting guard, and he's not good enough to be a point guard. A combo guard, if the combo is garbage and sucks, yeah, then he's a combo guard. He's not good. He shouldn't be starting ahead of Dunn. Start Dunn, let him make his mistakes, and I feel that when LaVine comes back, you're going to have – you could potentially, if you want, you could start LaVine, Dunn, another guy who I've been very impressed with is Nwaba. Three – that athleticism of those three guys in your backcourt is as good as anywhere in the NBA. And so you've immediately gone in 1 year from a team that's slow and plodding to a team that's incredibly athletic and push the ball. And then you got Markkanen and then Lopez for your scoring. And Lopez is just a fantastic defender. I like that starting five. Maybe potentially you could see Valentine somehow getting in there, either ahead of Nwaba. But I've been impressed with Nwaba.
Oh, no, I would like to see Nwaba back next year. I don't know if I want him in the starting lineup. I think him and Dunn, their games are a little too redundant. Neither of them is the greatest shooter. They both want to drive the ball. I think somebody like Valentine would open up the floor more with LaVine and Markkanen and Rolo out there. And then you still have, I was thinking Holiday. Holiday at the three would work too. And then you still have decent defense, because obviously with Denzel, you give up some defense. But I think opening up the floor with Dunn out there works a little bit better than having Nawab out there. I just think that's a little redundant.
I have no problem, too, with Grant starting right now because, hey, make the guy earn his minutes. I mean, he just put on a Bulls uniform for the first time. He's playing his first two games of the year.
He's talking about Dunn.
Just like what Fred Hoiberg said today. He said it doesn't matter who starts, it matters who finishes. And I know that you know, everybody says that. It does matter who starts to some degree. But he won't get there, man. I mean, there's no question that over the next five games, I'm sure that Chris Dunn is going to be our starting point guard within the next five games. So it's kind of a moot point to me.
It better happen.
You know, I want to lose games. It's important to lose games. So why try to put necessarily the best mix out there at all times? I want to see different looks at guys and with different situations and just try to see, because we've been pretty impressive so far. I mean, I think we're pretty competitive. We're more competitive than I thought we'd be. I mean, other than that Oklahoma City game, most of the games have been relatively close. And yeah, what more can you really want? I'm not going to criticize Hoiberg at all right now. To me, he's been, how can you be criticizing him?
I think he's been terrible. I think he's been absolutely terrible with his consistently keep on going to Felicio and not punishing Grant. The lineup he closed with yesterday was an abomination. And don't tell me he was trying to lose. He's trying to win that game. And why are you deciding to play Grant 30 plus minutes? He was horrific. Holiday played over 30 minutes yesterday. He was like 1 of 15. You can't continue to go to the well when these guys don't have it like that. Two things that bother me about Hoiberg. Number one, this team doesn't get any foul calls. It's filled with young guys, no superstars. At the end of the third quarter yesterday, Dunn got his arm ripped off on two consecutive shots. If I was coach, I would have taken the scores table and thrown it in the 200 level. Instead, he's sitting there looking like his head just came out of a bong. He just sat there with a glassy-eyed look, barely complained. Your players need to know you have your back when the officials are not calling for you. And they'll lose faith in you. If you're not able to at least, you know, get a tee every once in a while and say, hey, listen, that's not right, and start defending for your players lose faith in you. And it's just idiotic that he doesn't have a tee yet with some of the calls that I've seen so far this season. So that's, to me, his biggest problem. And number two, you're not rewarding the guys who deserve more PT. I don't know why Grant is getting so much time. He doesn't deserve it. He's been horrific. I already shared with you the numbers. He's terrible. You know, why is he getting any time? Big picture, the team is supposed to be bad.
It's the same reason that Nico was going to start.
Yeah, it's
they know these players aren't going to be here, and they want to lose. So trying to force value into Grant by starting Grant and going, hey, he can start in this league. They know they don't want Grant in the future. They know what Dunn's going to be, and I do agree Dunn needs more time with Markkanen at least. I want to see them, you know, develop some chemistry, and I think their games complement each other.
See, I don't believe that, though.
Even Felicio on the floor until we're down 10 points, and then he's putting starters back in.
Keith,
if we're getting a win, they're going to have to dig down and earn it and make it a miracle. Keith, it's all strategic. We want to lose.
Holiday
definitely following orders.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I think Holiday just had a quote that he's not surprised about Markkanen performance because he's been doing it all year in practice. Well, if that was the case, how the hell are you having a bum like Nico start ahead of him? What did Nico do to deserve to start ahead of Lauri Markkanen? Don't tell me he's been out playing him in practice. That hasn't happened.
No,
he just handed him the starting job.
You can't move Nico if he doesn't play.
I think
you pull a Philadelphia 76ers. I'm glad Markkanen got put out there. Initially, I wanted to hide him. I'm glad that Bobby punched Nico in the face. And now Nico wants to be traded, and Markkanen got the start. It was a blessing in disguise.
It was.
Markkanen now, I mean, he's had a great regular season. He had a good preseason, but his preseason, like, he's picked it up. He's just getting better and better and better and better. I have no problem with a rookie in his first game in the NBA coming off the bench. Who cares who was higher in the order? Nico's been here for 4 years, you know, whatever. Who really cares? Like, it's like, now Markkanen's got it. There's no question that he would have eventually have gotten it very quickly, no matter what.
I don't know about that.
It's like, what are you going to do? Like, they're the same type of player in terms of how they play the game, and just one's good and one sucks. So it's like, Nico's never going to see the floor ever again. Portis kind of, I mean, you know, Portis, what's he? He's like a shooting power forward. I mean, he sucks too. So it's like, you know, it was kind of a blessing in disguise. Now you know these two guys suck. The only problem is they probably both killed each other's trade value.
Well, I will say this: the Bulls have a bad record because they're missed for the vast majority of this year. They were missing four rotation players. I don't care if you're The Warriors. If you're missing four rotation players, you're going to suffer greatly in the, with your record. I do feel when LaVine comes back and when Nico or Portis, if they both come back and can, you know, grow up and hopefully get beyond this, I think the Bulls are going to be a much better team. I really do. I do feel Portis can shoot and extend the D and do some good things. And I do feel every once every six games, Nico provides some value. And I think he would improve the second unit.
Yeah, but the problem is the other game, he's hurting you.
Yeah, but I think overall...
Well, that's why we got to get him that 1-6 game and then get him out of the trading block. Look, this guy can drain 8 3-pointers out of 13 in a game. Let's go. I know you want him. You're a playoff team. Take him off our hands.
Good, yeah.
You already saw his value, though. He was a free agent. You already saw his value. Nobody cares about Nico, and now nobody cares about Nico, and there's no way you're trading Bobby. Bobby Portis is going to have to come back and be like, you know, freaking Kevin Garnett for people to want him after what he just did. There's no way that anybody's going to want him on their team.
I disagree with that. I think if he comes back, if he comes out,
and I disagree with that too.
Yeah, I think if he comes out and he plays like he did in the playoffs, he had a really nice playoffs. Look at his numbers; were fantastic.
He had 19 points.
He had a couple really nice games. He shot over 50% for the entire playoffs. I think over 40 from 3-point range. If he comes out and shoots like that, Mark, and plays, I think, to his ability, somebody's going to want him. I'm not even sure I want to trade Bobby Portis yet. I still want to see a little bit more.
I don't want to trade BP. I think that would be a dumb move, especially with where his value is at right now. And some people don't like people who punch people. Other people take that as a valuable asset. Dennis Rodman used to pinch people in the butt and tickle them while they were playing. A lot of people don't want any of that, but sometimes that kind of character is needed. And from the reports, the Bulls team has accepted Bobby back in and said that he didn't even have to apologize, that it was understood why. So we still don't know the full story either. We don't know, you know, exactly how Nico charged at Bobby the one or two times. You know, the story's changed so many times. It's hard to completely put it on Bobby.
I agree 100%. He wouldn't have
had a game. I think at the end of the day, you have a player that has a broken face. That's bad. And he's the one that punched him in the face. So, I mean, you've got 2 games left in his suspension because it's 8 games, right? Isn't it 8 games?
Yeah. But, Mark, hold on a second.
You got 2 games left before the suspension is over. And I don't know. I would not want a guy on my team that decked one of his teammates.
Do we not praise Rolo as being a great veteran? Did Rolo not throw a fist at Ibaka on live television? His intent was the same that Bobby's was.
Yeah, he didn't break his face.
That Bobby's was. Bobby just happened to connect.
Mark, hold on 1 second. Mark.
Intent, 9/10 of the law?
Pax was at that game.
I think that at the end of the day, intent, because somebody could swing and punch and not mean to, you know, trying to miss the person just to kind of intimidate them. And the fact is, yeah, at the end of the day, if you shoot at somebody and you miss them, you know, and it's not considered murder. You shoot them and kill them, it's murder. It's the same sort of thing.
Mark, hold on a second. It's not the same thing. Hold on a second. John Paxson was at that practice. He saw what happened. And not only that, it's all his teammates saw what happened. And from every report I've heard, Nico came at him. And it's entirely possible, if you ever watched Manny Pacquiao against Marquez, when a guy's running at someone with all that energy and he runs into a fist that is thrown at the right angle, he'll go out. And it's unfortunate that's what happened. But to say that every guy who gets their ass kicked and gets put in the hospital is completely faultless in a fight is nonsense. It's entirely possible.
You're not saying he's faultless.
It's entirely. Apparently the team thinks that too.
And also, I'm not going to take necessarily what John Paxson says, because John Paxson choked Vinny Del Negro a couple years ago.
To protect
his
player.
Who's he to say what's right and what's wrong? That's a disgusting move, too. Is this the type of freaking team that we have?
No, it wasn't. Disgusting. No, it wasn't. He endangered the health of Joakim Noah. Vinny Del Negro endangered the health of his player. John Paxson.
So you got to choke him?
Well, probably that was no doubt beyond what he should have done. But I understand why he was angry and frustrated. John Paxson, you know, has his emotions on his sleeve. He should have been able to handle that better, no doubt about it. But come on, it wasn't that
big. It was Bobby Portis. I understand why he was upset. But you punched a guy in his face and you broke his face. And I'm not saying that Nico's not at fault either. When they re-signed him, I was kind of just like, whatever, it's not a lot of money. You get 2 more years to just kind of see if maybe he can get it together. But it's not enough money where it really matters one way or another. But now, it's like, just get this poontang off the team. This guy, he was, get him off the team. No one's going to want him anyway. He's not any good.
Are you talking about Nico or Bobby?
I want to look at that beard one more day.
Are you talking about Nico or Bobby? Which one do you want off the team?
Both of them. I was talking about about Bobby and now Nico. Get them both off the team. But Bobby, for sure, because of what he did.
All right, so just for the record, I say no. I want Bobby still on the team. I'd love to see Nico play his way into a box of donuts for a trade. I don't think it's going to happen. Keith, what do you say? Who would you rather see stay and go?
Well, obviously Nico kind of put them in a weird position, having somewhat instigated the fight, not accepting the apology, not talking to the team, and then demanding him or Portis be moved, knowing that he can't be traded until January 15th. That's a rather kind of, he has some leverage in a way, but at the same time he doesn't. They can always put Bobby down in the G League if Nico comes back soon enough until January 15th and then ship Nico out of there and bring Bobby back up. There's ways we can separate them, but I would much rather keep BP over Nico. I didn't want to re-sign Nico to begin with. We had to meet a cap floor, and there wasn't really a reason not to sign him. It was worth taking a risk to get some trade value. But if Nico wants out, see you later, Nico. Bobby's accepted by his teammates after what he did, and that's all that matters to me, how the team feels. Not what people think is right and wrong. How the team feels in that locker room is the only thing that matters for our culture.
All right, guys. Hey, I got to hit the road, unfortunately. Keith, thanks for joining us.
A lot of good NBA stuff so far. Hopefully we could do something soon where we can talk about the NBA as a whole, because there's a lot of good things. I want to give a shout-out to one of my favorite players, Giannis Antetokounmpo. That's even how you say his name. But how he's been playing so far, unbelievable. We've had a great start here to the NBA season, and Lonzo Ball sucks. All these things make me happy. And Ben Simmons is, like, the most unbelievable player in the world. A lot of good things.